Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. Alright.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to E3 Day Zero. This is Air Report coming to you live from E3.
Space Jam.
Space Jam.
Space Jam.
Welcome to the jams. I'm joined with pretty much the entire Error Not Found crew. We've got Ben Texer Ben jumping on.
Hello.
I think the first time, if not the first time in a very, very long time.
Yeah, second.
Matthew Malewski.
Yeah, returning champion.
Nicholas Clement.
Back from the dead, assholes.
Evan Tognotti.
I actually am the returning champion, but I'm going to be humble about it.
And Ryan McGinley is off doing something else, probably messing with his girl wood. So we're just going to...
Still looking correct word.
Yep. I'm Clem Prentice, and that's pretty much the entire Air Not Found crew. Welcome, everybody. So, E3.
Yeah. E3.
That totally started today, you guys.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And, well, okay, so I just want to... So, we started off the day with Microsoft. That happened at, like, 9 o'clock this morning, Pacific time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
So, you guys... I can sum up the entirety of the Microsoft press conference in about 15 seconds.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
How many times have you been watching an episode of South Park and thought, I'd like to be able to watch this on my television while hooked into my mobile device, which is being controlled by my tablet device, which is hooked into my oven, all while sitting in the refrigerator?
It's true.
So for those of you who did not, for those of you who did not watch the Microsoft press conference, that was Trey Parker taking a jab at Microsoft for their entire press conference, where they really didn't focus on games so much as they focused on tablet integration, because you know Kinect functionality apparently isn't working out for them like they thought.
Yeah.
Although when they did have something that included Kinect, it was something I can almost see using, like, the Splinter Cell going, hey, you. I'm like, oh, that's
pretty awesome. That was really awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's go down. Let's open up the show with Halo 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Halo 4 looked good.
Yeah. It definitely looked good.
I thought it looked surprisingly good. I've had very low expectations for that game, just sort of. Across the board.
Me too. I really like the animation seemed a lot more fluid this time around. AI seemed to be a bit more intelligent, and graphically it just looked a lot better.
Plus your HUD. Really liked, like being able to see Cortana and stuff like that pop up when they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
That was just simple stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was really enjoyable.
Yeah, and the music was different, but definitely worked well. And I really dug the design of the enemies and the weapons and how the enemies, like that guy that caught all the grenades that were thrown, that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
The weapons especially looked their kind of animations when you pick them up and they kind of shift around and...
Now, I wonder if that happens every time you pick one up, or if it's just like, whoa, this is a new thing, it's weird.
That's possible.
Yeah, probably.
It looks like they're on a whole new place. Different
scale enemies. Seems to be bigger.
Yeah. A ship just like plummeting towards them at the start of the demo.
It's pretty awesome.
It was.
And that live action trailer that aired right before that.
That
was great. Live action Halo is what I want.
Error Not Found does not endorse that live action.
Halo FMV, make it happen.
Like Mad Dog McCree style.
Yeah. Okay. No. More like Wing Commander 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So then after that was something I was really excited about, and it had the one of the best reveals of the show, because Splinter Cell Blacklight or Blackwatch Black something. I don't know.
It was Blacklist.
So the way that it started out was, it just looked like you were in the middle of a war zone. You were just this character, kind of like maybe, I guess, I think we made the comparisons to Medal of Honor or Call of Duty, right?
Yeah.
And you're just helping this dude out, like setting him down on a table. But then all of a sudden you have that mark and execute moment, and I think that was one of the, like, three times that people in the audience cheered because they realized that it was Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
And then it was a very cool way to reveal that was a Splinter Cell game.
Yeah.
It's not even just you see Sam Fisher's face. It's he is still in his costume and he marks a bunch of people. And you're like, oh, shit, I know what's going to happen.
It seems like all those mark and execute moments seem to be a lot more fluid and awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot more integrated into the environment.
Definitely. A little bit of parkour going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some jumpy jump.
Mm-hmm. Looks like they integrated a little bit of a Assassin's Creed engine into it.
Yeah, that's true.
And then connect functionality where you can, hey, you. And then the guard is all really like, cool. What? Her? Metal Gear.
And then you stab him.
I'm just going to shout Metal Gear whenever I want someone's attention.
Just be like, psst, I'm in the box.
Otacon.
Yeah, but that looked pretty cool.
I was
very pleased by that. Mm-hmm. So out of the gate, Microsoft.
Yeah, coming out with a bang.
Had a really strong start, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering why we emphasize that it had a really great start.
Then Don Matrick showed up on stage and just decided to wreck the entire show.
Yep. Brought it right off the cliff.
Oh, Don Matrick.
There must have been 30 minutes of just a giant spiel about tablets and Kinect integration.
Yeah, so the thing that they were unveiling was their smart glass functionality where through unspecific tablets and smartphones, you could use those to navigate and explore all different types of Xbox functionality, including Internet Explorer, which was unveiled. Sometimes like being able to take control of the game using the tablet, which seemed weird and just totally out of place. And, their big thing that they were focusing on was, if you watch a movie on your tablet and then you push it to your Xbox, then you get like IMDb cast listings on your tablet. Can do that anyway.
And it's like, I'm not going to be reading those while I'm watching the movie.
While I'm watching Teen Wolf, I constantly go to the IMDb.
Cool implementation of that I saw was the whole Game of Thrones map thing.
Yeah, that was awesome.
All right, that's neat. That was cool.
That was really cool. Because I'm just this big, giant Game of Thrones fan. And sometimes, especially in the second season, I did get a little bit confused where they were at certain times, and that map would have actually really helped.
Yeah, like when I'm reading the book, sometimes I'll flip back through just to see where they're at, what they're talking about.
Yeah. And Westeros is a big place, so...
it is.
But, I mean, it also comes down to because... It's gotta come from the content provider. So HBO has to, handcraft that application and give it to Microsoft, and then that functionality has to escape from that. And it becomes a big giant clusterfuck if things don't work out properly. This whole smart glass thing could be really awesome, but only if it works as seamlessly as they're saying.
Right.
Like there was Halo 4 functionality, and it was like you had the waypoint lore, and then all of a sudden you see in the corner your friend pops online, you click join game, and then all of a sudden within 5 seconds you were in the game with him. That would be awesome if it worked that quickly, which I don't think it could.
Yeah.
Especially with the Microsoft infrastructure as it stands right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And another thing that just thought was kind of weird was the fact that you can control the Internet Explorer from your phone, like your phone as a remote. But any phone that like you can use that as a remote already has internet on it. I just found that to be a little redundant.
Yeah. And hey, who doesn't want to see more Prometheus clips? I mean,
that was when I lost it. When I was just like, this is Microsoft video game press conference, and I'm watching a fucking Prometheus clip.
Yeah, and I understand that there's supposed to be some hardware and like some connectivity, whatever you want to call it. But I mean, seriously, that was a lot of that crap with not a lot of games.
Well, I think that's just because of Microsoft's growing evolution. They're trying to focus themselves as an entertainment box, and everything that you want you can get by just having the Xbox 360.
Yeah, but Sony did that. Sorry, go ahead, Nick.
No, that's the issue. They're trying to push everything rather than focusing on the games. I mean, there are other conferences to do that.
I totally agree with you. I mean, that is the kind of stuff that might actually be a great thing to showcase at, like, GDC or DICE or something.
Precisely.
Yeah.
But.
And Sony showed that, like, you say they want to show off all the features, but Sony did it the best way. They were like, hey, we're going to add a lot more entertainment stuff. And then they just showed all, like, the app pictures on the board behind them instead of talking about each one in detail.
Hey, I'm not defending the Xbox conference in any respect. But it was a shitty conference.
Yeah, they talked about ESPN for a little too long.
Yeah, they definitely did.
Talked about everything for a little too long.
But
really.
I think we got to hit the highlights. You know, there was a Tomb Raider demo, which was great.
Was good.
That was a very interesting demo.
I liked the stuff it did with the environment. The dudes were flipping over tables and you could like put your bow and arrow in some fire and
you're
you could fire arrows.
You're the bow, guys.
You're the bow.
God, stop saying you're the bow.
Nope, I'm not going to.
You're the bow.
There's big bow? Three games with bows in them.
Hey, they are the biggest of games, though.
Yeah. It's probably like three more games than there were last year.
Yeah.
Fine. Estrin came out last year. It's a bow.
Yeah, big bow. What else? Forza Horizon. Should we talk a little bit more about Tomb Raider, though?
Tomb Raider looked cool. I don't know what it looked. Also kind of like Uncharted.
Yeah, when it wasn't using...
Like, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But that is a very easy reference point.
But I mean, like, before Uncharted became the commonplace name, everyone was saying it just looks like a dude Tomb Raider, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, this is definitely some irony.
Yeah, definitely, definitely some social commentary, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I appreciate Matthew. I'm pretty sure you used irony correctly there.
I know how to use irony. In fact, I hate it. That's one of my big pet peeves people use irony.
I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying most people don't.
I think it would be
really
ironic.
Most people think like coincidence is irony.
Exactly.
I think it would be really ironic if we were all made out of iron.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Sorry, that's a red versus blue joke.
Oh, iron.
Yeah, okay. That's a red versus blue joke. what else? What else happened?
Showed a Fable the Journey trailer.
Yeah, they did.
And they didn't mention it.
It looks on rails.
Let me give a tip to every person making a Kinect trailer. Stop cutting away to the guy playing your game and having some dumb digital effect in his hands. Because it never works.
Yeah,
It just reminds us that it's dumb to stand up and pretend like we have things when we don't. That's all it's dumb.
Exactly. No one ever is going to be like jump up and be like, oh my God, it's like I'm really in the game. No.
Yeah.
There was the,
I really thought I was an undead wooden puppet when I was playing Dutch.
Gunslinger.
There was the, damn it, what was it? The Wrecketeer demo.
Oh yeah,
Wrecketeer.
Button nipples.
Yeah, yeah, let's not talk about the button nipples.
That looks there. So dumb.
Yeah, yeah, no, it looks like
3D Angry Birds.
3D Angry Birds, yeah, exactly, in medieval times. Yeah. Oh, what if it was a medieval times video game?
With some fast-paced, high-flying action that takes
also,
like 5 minutes.
Also, all of the things she said during that demo kind of sounded like sexual innuendos, but weren't quite sexual innuendos.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was focusing too much.
Split this ball apart.
I was and focusing
like, you know almost.
She just put the inflection on really the wrong words.
Well, I was just focusing because Ryan pointed it out. I was focusing way too much on the button nipples that I could not focus on anything else.
You're welcome.
So I didn't understand a word she was saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
So that Far Cry 3 demo must have really thrown you for a loop then.
No, not as much.
Normal nipples are fine. It's just when, like, awkward.
Awkward.
What else was there at Microsoft?
Let's see.
Gears of War?
Yeah, that Gears of War trailer.
That wasn't much of anything. It was a trailer for people who didn't know about it, pretty much.
And then I like when Baird smiled and, like, they expected people to go like, yeah, Baird, yeah. Or something.
But if it was the Coltrane.
I'm surprised they didn't use him, actually, because I think he's a little bit more popular of a character.
Coltrane.
One thing about E3 2012 so far, audience not taking shit. They do not applaud for stuff they don't like.
Except for book spells, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. That was just pity.
Yeah. Then, you know, three-fourths through, they did the South Park Stick of Truth trailer, which
was
really great.
That was
great.
So funny.
I'll
do it. Kyle. Jews can't do it.
Jews can't be heroes.
I was waiting for it, too. I'm like, when's he going to say it? Yep.
See, that solidified, like, I don't really care how great the gameplay is in that game. It has the South Park humor, though, and it showed that in the trailer, which
it's just
going to
be a 20-hour South Park episode.
What's wrong with that?
I'm okay with that.
What is wrong with that, Ryan?
There is nothing wrong with that, as Trey Parker.
That'd be so great.
And it also led into my favorite part of the Microsoft conference, which was Trey Parker and Matt Stone coming up, reportedly without teleprompters.
Yeah.
Unlike everybody else.
And, you know, I'm going to play this clip one more time, but notice that Trey Parker actually sounds like Stan's dad, even though he doesn't sound like that in real life.
Yeah, that's – I was
How many times have you been watching an episode of South Park and thought, I'd like to be able to watch this on my television while hooked into my mobile device, which is being controlled by my tablet device, which is hooked into my oven, all while sitting in the refrigerator? Well, we're not doing that. We're just doing this game.
I find that really funny that, you know, I mean, it's been, what, 16, 17 years, and he still has that voice that just comes out whenever he wants to be funny.
Yeah.
Well, it's also people
it's just like you can go, Nick.
All the audience is laughing at this joke, like maybe because it's all funny, but just because like he's just making fun of the whole industry right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what South Park does, just make fun of shit.
It was just a really like kind of tense airspace, I feel like. And he just cut it in half.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, I know what you're all thinking, guys, so I'm gonna say this thing.
That alone, if they can get that humor in, you know, like he wrote that joke in like 2 minutes right before he went on stage, and he's just like, I'm gonna say this, like that gives me so much faith for anything that Trey Parker and Matt Stone do in the future.
Yeah, I just
feel like wrote that joke beforehand. I came up with it on the spot.
No, yeah, definitely. Like two.
Yeah,
because
he does it. Why the fuck would he know what's going to be at the press conference right before him?
Exactly.
I would not be surprised if he was walking out onto the stage and he was like, "Oh, here's what I should say."
Yeah. I saw an interview with him and Matt Stone afterwards, and you know, like. They were just completely carefree, and the person asked, "How do you want to are you guys gonna keep it fresh, and do you still like what you're doing? And their answers were, we don't, and we don't know.
Yeah.
I just hope there's going to be an E3 episode of South Park, because there was a Broadway episode when they did the Book of Mormon.
I'd really like an E3 episode. I mean, they did the Apple iPad episode.
They're at least going to reference it somehow, I'm sure.
Let's hope so.
I hope so. That would be so. That would be so perfect. Like
Cartman wants a Kinect. It turns out to be really shitty. what else? There was the Twisted Pixel game announced, Loco Cycle.
Sure.
Yeah, I didn't understand that much.
It was just a reveal trailer, teaser.
They showed the Summer of Arcade.
Yes, they sort of.
Madness?
You mean Matter.
Whatever.
It's Marble Madness, Clint. Huh? With Kinect.
Dance Central 3 was announced.
Gore Verbinski, apparently.
Yep, Gore Verbinski. Yeah. Resident Evil 6, that demo.
Yep.
That was a zombie demo.
That wasn't a great demo.
Yeah. I'm like, if it's not scary, what is there to this game? I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, like, and so there was also the final nail in the coffin. The horribly generic and kind of depressing Black Ops 2 demo.
Yeah.
We skipped the Usher performance. Yeah.
I glanced over Dance Central 3. You guys didn't comment on it, so I just moved on.
Wait, about Dance... never mind. I get Just Dance and Dance Central confused.
Don't worry, we'll get to that.
Okay, continue.
That was that.
That was bad.
Yeah.
That was really bad.
It was just really slow and kind of.
And he gave up lip syncing about halfway through, and.
Like a lot of things in this batch of press conferences, it was a not very amusing concept that went on for way too long.
Sorry, I was talking about the Black Ops 2 trailer.
It could fit both ways. They stopped lip syncing in the Black Ops 2 trailer.
So, I mean, that pretty much does it for the Microsoft conference. Anything else you guys want to add? Less comments?
Just that Black Ops 2 really deflated me. Because I read so much about phone.
I mean, to be fair, that was kind of not really what interested me in Black Ops 2, and I mean, it looked like a typical Call of Duty level, and so I'm like, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm still interested to see more about it.
It just seems so stale, you know. At this point, it just kind of seems stale.
Yeah, bigger explosions.
That's why I'm just looking forward to what the stuff they promised would be different is going to be like. So. Sure.
I feel like everything they've promised was in there somehow. Yeah, they're like, there are splitting paths. Yeah. And then he got to the part where it's like, you can rappel or you can snipe. I'm like,
And then it's in the future because there's blue
sniper ranges.
They sort of emphasize like story, like the story would differentiate itself.
Sure.
Yeah, but when is the getting into another matter? But when has the story in a Call of Duty game ever been?
Sure.
Black Ops.
Let's go ahead and move on to EA. What do you guys say?
Okay. Fine. Yep. I was gonna fight Matthew to death, but whatever.
That's totally fine. All right, so EA. All right,
are we just going to get to the end of that song?
Probably. Probably. So EA had a couple of announcements. I know that Evan, Ryan, you guys weren't able to watch it.
Wasn't present for that one.
I saw some tweets about it, though.
Well, I'm going to tell you
pretty shit.
I'm going to tell you all you need to know about the EA press conference.
Okay, yeah. Have Space Jam ready so you can play us out once you tell us.
All right, so they opened with a whole bunch of logos, including Bejeweled and Plants vs. Zombies.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, those are the core games we want to see at E3.
And then they were all like,
don't
hey.
Don't talk any smack about Bejeweled, Ryan.
I'm sorry.
And then they were all like, hey, we've got this Dead Space demo. And I was like, yeah, Dead Space. And then it was this really weird co-op mode that
which is not what we wanted to see. Like, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah,
but that's not what I wanted to see in Dead Space 3.
Right, and there was some really awkward dialogue between the co-op characters in-game, not the people doing the demo, but there was, like, really, you know, action line.
Like Army of Two
type stuff.
It is we caught it, like, I think they showed, like, in mid-game, so you really don't know these characters, especially since they only introduced Isaac's counterpart, like, a week ago, and we don't even know anything about him.
Yeah.
That was the issue.
Yeah, nice shot on the necromorph there. Still torn up about your dead girlfriend.
So there was pretty much it. It was on an ice planet, and I did a tweet: Dead Space : Lost Planet : Extreme Temperatures.
And then just colon.
Then just a colon at the end of the tweet because. They're already in so deep, like.
Yeah. No, but they literally get swallowed by a monster into the colon.
Yeah, they do get swallowed
like
into the colon.
Exactly, that's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah, and Matthew made the joke of the death animations were really getting an overhaul this year. You're actually seeing yourself getting shit out of a monster. So then after that, they were all like, hey, we've got this SimCity social thing. It's on Facebook. And they made a lot of jokes towards crushing farms and not having Farmville anymore, but instead having SimCity. That looked pretty dumb, but yeah. Then, yeah. But
on,
then
is Farmville still relevant?
Yes.
Yeah.
People still use that?
Yes.
I'm wow. sure yeah. some people do.
But then planets. They were like, hey, here's SimCity proper. And I urge everyone to go watch the SimCity trailer because I can't explain all that went down in that, but I'm just saying multiplayer SimCity.
Yes.
And
like are we talking Civilization?
We're talking I can be like you and I could make a city together.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So Minecraft,
or you two can make separate cities and you can link them together.
Yes, and so say it's like
so. There's no competitive element. Then.
I don't think so.
Okay.
So say like I'm on one side of here. I'll put it in context for you, Evan. All right.
Sure.
I'm on one side of the Bay Bridge, and you're on the other side.
I'm really not pandemic. That dense that you need to put it in terms of a bridge that's near me.
SF jokes.
No, but it is like that. Like, you know, if I was in one city and you weren't in the other, we could like trade back and forth. You know
okay,
what I mean?
So if I was the awesome San Francisco and you were the murder capital Oakland.
Exactly. Then, yes, exactly.
We could trade back and forth.
Exactly.
Okay.
You can give me some quirky people, and I can give you some murderers.
Right. Sounds like a fair trade.
But also...
Hi, Oakland.
Oh, hi, Oakland. And I have dibs on Tommy Wiseau, though.
God.
So then there was also a lot of, you know, like, weird things that go on as well. Like, the city fights back. Like, if they don't like what you're doing, they can riot against you, I think they showed.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then, like, you can actually, like, cause smog and all this shit to your city. And then
using your city as a weapon. What a novel concept.
And then, I'm totally going to wreck my city.
Yeah, well, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You build it and then you wreck it.
Well, here's the best part. Godzilla makes an appearance in SimCity.
Oh, that's okay. On board.
No, but seriously, go watch that trailer. It looks really awesome. Everything about that screams I should probably play this because I kind of want to build a whole bunch of cities, and SimCity seems like a great...
When Godzilla comes on screen, does it just turn to like an emulated version of Godzilla Destroy All Monsters?
No, sadly. All we saw was like a red dinosaur foot smashed down. It looked like Godzilla's foot.
Is there the Monty Python foot that can smash down? Because I'd be more interested.
Like you're actually just the Monty Python god.
That would be great.
So after that, they totally announced a free-to-play Madden social game, and then Madden 13, where they have dynamic storylines and the use of the Infinity Engine.
Now, hold on a minute, because you you told me earlier, without any sort of context, that the new Madden has dynamic storylines, and then you did not elaborate.
Well, I'm just telling you.
What in the fuck does that mean?
I'm just telling you all that I heard. All they said was Madden has dynamic storylines, and that was it.
What sort of storylines? This time I used this play, but the other time I used this other play.
That's all I know.
Just go to the bar with your teammates and one of them gets shot, and you can decide to save them or save yourself and not go to jail.
And then Chris Nolan.
It's like seedy early years when you're starting.
And then Chris Nolan decides to just completely bomb the field and you're running a touchdown.
See.
Okay, so then they talked about a Battlefield 3 Premium, which is a $50 content pack. For $50, you're going to get, like, 5 expansions in the next 9 months. Just a big, giant, late-term season pass. Mm. The map seemed interesting, but, you know, it's more Battlefield, so if you like Battlefield, go ahead and do that.
Like me!
Then Dr. Ray comes on stage from BioWare. He comes on stage and he's like, hey, we're going to have more stuff for Star Wars. We're going to have more planets. We're going to have more sagas. We're going to blah, blah, blah. So much more content.
Yeah.
And the game is now free up to level 15.
Which is a good strategy. But, I mean, I just feel so bad for BioWare whenever they talk about the Old Republic.
Yeah. But Ray,
an abusive relationship they have with their own game.
Yeah, Ray seemed like he really wanted it to be good, but I don't know if he really believed that in the long run.
think BioWare might reflect on that game as not being one of their
maybe
better
not efforts. Yeah, maybe not as successful as it could have been.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just the MMO market, you know.
Yeah,
that market is just complete trash right now. And I'm not saying like that in terms of the content of the games. I'm just saying like nobody really wants to play MMOs like they used to, you know?
How many months till free to play?
I give them 9.
9?
Yeah.
9. Well, Wizard 101 is free to play right now.
Shut up. After that,
you're going to practice your fire spells with Wonderbook?
We'll get there, Matthew.
After that, they showed off some gameplay from Medal of Honor Warfighter, and it just looked like Battlefield 3.
It looked totally competent.
Yeah, there were beards and guns, and
yay, and
killing of dudes.
Oh,
another game I won't buy.
Hey, we can't deny that it has the biggest wealth of breaching options available in any first-person shooter.
Yeah.
You can choose to breach
like
with a crowbar.
So this was the thing. Whenever they got up to this door, you know how in Call of Duty you press the X button, you breach the door, and you just kick it open, right? Mm-hmm. Well, in this game, there was all of a sudden this on-screen reticle that is like a half circle, and it said, hey, you can breach the door by doing this, 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 and this, this. Which do you want to do?
Is there any difference besides cosmetics?
Yeah,
one to just calmly open the door?
Probably. There was a boot, there was a crowbar, and there was a shotgun. That was all the ones that I saw, but there were like 5 more after that. They chose the shotgun option, and so his partner takes his shotgun, fires 2 rounds into the doorknob, and then kicks it open. And then, of course, everything goes slow motion, and you cap the 4 guys in the room.
Yeah.
So that was
like just walks in calmly through the door, hangs up his coat.
Yeah. See, I wish they'd have this big epic slow motion thing when the guy realizes he has to push it instead of pull the door.
And then they did some more EA Sports stuff.
Let's not.
Yeah, no. then they started talking about Need for Speed Most Wanted. And it had some pretty hot pursuits in there.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, we forgot about Forza Horizon.
We talked about that, actually.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
attention.
Went over my head.
So, Need for Speed sounds fun. Updated Autolog shit now works on your tablet, probably. I don't know.
Everything works on tablet.
Let's see. Need for Speed. Yeah, it looked pretty cool. Definitely a lot of fun.
So is Criterion just not doing Burnout games anymore?
I guess not.
It looked kind of like a Burnout Paradise, yeah, to some extent.
Yeah, it's definitely open world.
Burnout.
It looked cool.
Burnout was always so much better than Need for Speed, and now.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's hope for the next game. It's Need for Speed : Burnout.
All right.
Colon.
After that, they were all like, hey, Crysis 3, you're the bow.
You're the bow.
Yeah, we're the bow.
Crysis 3 has a bow. It was outside. There was a lot of foliage. It looked basically like Crysis 2, but with bows.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I like Crysis 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. February.
Okay. Yeah.
You just kick this reactor a lot. It looks fun.
Yeah. Let's see. Then I tweeted, "You're the bow again."
You're the bow.
And
I think Hunger Games.
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much all of the EA shit. I don't.
Okay.
There was a lot of.
All right,
FIFA.
Let's get to Ubisoft.
There was a lot.
I mean,
nice reference.
There was a lot of FIFA stuff. So there was that.
Great. Like Space Jam us on to Ubisoft. All right,
Ubisoft guys. Jams all in your face is oddly appropriate because the opening trailer they started with was what, Far Cry 3 boobs?
Yeah.
Tiger boobs.
Now is that just exclusive to Xbox for a limited time?
Yeah, they'll unlock it on PS3 after it. It's like the Saboteur.
Yeah,
they were painted so it's cool.
It has a sensor bar.
Yeah, it was really great. What did you guys think of the Fallout 3? Or not Fallout 3, Far Cry 3.
I love Fallout 3.
Far Cry 3 demo that they showed.
Great DLC.
Yeah. Far Cry 3 demo was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It didn't start that cool. It started and I was like, yeah, sure. And then it got to the part
insane.
Where you go into the room and there's a bunch of TVs. And then suddenly it got really weird
and then
crazy,
suddenly
I liked
your
it.
Character inhales bath salts, and it's just this wild trip.
He starts eating somebody's face and ripping out his intestines, throwing them at police officers. It's a good time.
I'm just saying, like, the story in that game seems crazy.
Yeah.
And crazy in a good way. The guy that has all the monologues in every single trailer so far, he seems fucking insane, right?
Isn't that one
of
the...
Sure.
That's a... Yeah, whatever.
So, yeah, there was that. That's whenever Aisha Tyler was all like, I've got Girlwood.
Yeah, let's be clear that the hosts this year were not quite up to Mr. Caffeine's standards, but definitely tried.
They were very passive-aggressive towards each other.
No, I think I will go on record and say I think I like Mr. Caffeine more than the hosts this year.
Oh, no, no.
Mr. Caffeine was fun to watch in a really perverse way, but these were just a drag.
I think what's worse is because Tobuscus, I know him from his YouTube, and I like his stuff. And just hearing this is just pitiful.
Yeah.
Pitiful.
Did he sing any songs?
No.
She would have. For every intro. Much better.
That's whenever they showed off Rayman Legends, which was the first Wii U title that we've actually seen gameplay of.
Yeah, which looks like Rayman Origins.
Yep. Yep.
With one caveat.
3D stuff and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and a tablet.
I didn't much like the 3D stuff.
Yeah, no, neither did I.
Yeah.
Was there any, like, controller connectivity?
Yeah. So there's a thing with you can use different controllers, and the Wii U controller, for example, you play as this, like, little green guy who you use the touch screen and, like, fling around to open up pathways for Rayman, who's being played on a normal controller. So, like, there's some – there are roles to each controller. Mm-hmm. And you can choose – it seems like you can choose to use any combination of them.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So that's interesting. It was all colorful. And then there was a great, like, weird guitar riff part at the end. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's whenever
a lot
I
of
tweeted...
stuff just kind of timed to the beat. And...
Yeah. That's whenever I tweeted, Rayman gives me all the girl wood.
You just want another excuse to say girl wood. Yeah. Don't pretend like this was Rayman.
After that, they showed off the Assassin's Creed 3 demo. Year of the Bow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Year of the Bow. That looked really cool.
Yeah,
it did. And, like, I'm not even that big Assassin's Creed fan, but goddamn, that looked...
Yeah, neither am I.
I agree, but those tomahawks are freaking sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just, like, the, you know, the animations as you climb through the trees and the...
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of it seemed janky. It was all...
When he's chasing down that guy, and then you can just, like, quickly grab onto one of those bayonets, that was really cool. And then he just stabs him. Yeah, really impressive.
Yeah, really impressive. Definitely breathed life back into the Assassin's Creed franchise for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Change of setting helps.
Yes, definitely. Especially one that we know so well, you know, like, well, most of us know very well.
Yeah.
Nick, how much do you know about
the big city? Matthew excluded.
Yeah. Nick, how much do you know about the, like, do you guys get taught that kind of stuff, or...
That kind of stuff.
No, like the American Revolution.
It's all just the life cycle.
I thought you were, for a second, I thought you were talking about the Assassin's Creed universe.
Me too.
No.
We learned a bit about it, but not a whole lot. Okay. So I'm going to take, like, the Assassin's Creed word for canon.
Sure. Yeah.
This is your actual one. I mean, canon, I mean real life.
Yep.
So do they teach you some sort of warped view of history in Canada where, like... Christopher Columbus actually meant to discover Canada instead of America. They're superior in all these really special ways. And
then we actually like Justin Bieber.
Yeah, and like maple syrup is really good. And,
it is really good.
Well,
it
is really maple good. Syrup is good.
You go too far, sir.
How much back bacon do you eat on a regular basis?
Do you believe everybody has a moose as a pet?
Okay, we could go on with this for.
I'm just asking how President Moose is right now. How is Bullwinkle?
Prime Minister Moose, please.
Prime Minister Bullwinkle.
I'm not your buddy, guy.
I'm not your guy, buddy.
No, you messed it up.
So after the AC demo, that's whenever I tweeted, "Man, I have the girliest boner right now."
Plug.
Oh boy.
Let's just go through all of your tweets.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, let's just start at the beginning.
That's what I'm doing. After that, that's when Aisha Taylor was making all those ejaculation jokes.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah.
I'm glad I missed those.
And then they did Shoot Mania, which seemed crazy stupid.
You know what I read actually after that?
Hmm.
They were not even... That was pre-recorded from a live stream event. They were not playing on those computers.
That's so dumb. Why even bring them out at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Shoot Mania, new Track Mania Planet game.
Looks really weird.
Yeah, really weird.
Yeah.
It seems like one shot just kills people generally, but it's hard to hit them, and depending on where you stand, you have a different weapon, and it's just,
yep.
I don't know, need to see more.
So after that came the weirdest, craziest, and probably the most awesome part of the show so far. Started out with this really, like, 5-minute long CTOS, like, telling everyone about cyber terrorism, basically.
It's like, there was this blackout in 2003, right? Yeah. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, and we thought, is that the premise for a game?
Yeah, Clint and I were on the chat for this, and we were just going through, like, all of the emotions I'm pretty sure they wanted us to go through watching that trailer.
Yeah, is this like, a game? What are we talking about?
Why? Oh my god, what is this? Oh my god, this looks amazing.
Well, that came later.
Revelation upon revelation.
I mean, the amazing stuff came later. Like, at the end of the first, you know, CG trailer where they're talking about cyber terrorism, we're just like, what are you doing? Who are you? And then it fades out, and they're like, all right, so now we're going to show you this demo for this game. And it starts off on this, windy streets of Chicago. You're a guy in a trench coat, and you've got a cell phone, and you're just walking down the street. And it looks really awesome. And Evan and I at this point are like, what are we watching? What kind of game is this? It looks pretty, but what game is this?
And then a mini map pops up.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, so open world. And he starts walking, and we're like, oh, okay, so this is a live gameplay demo, and they show the controller. Yeah, it's a live gameplay demo. and then he, like, finds this objective to go after this, what was his name?
Jason DeMarco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason DeMarco. And Jason DeMarco is just this, like, art guy. And so he goes up to this art gallery where Jason DeMarco is supposed to be showing off his artworks. And he can't get in, so he needs to create a distraction. And so he uses his phone to send a virus to all the phones in the relative area and make them, like, short-circuit so that it causes a distraction so he can walk in.
And then you just hear AI everywhere freaking out, going like, hello, what's happening? And they all start pacing around. And
so you walk into this building, no load times, no nothing. You were just walking from outside in the main world to inside the building. And you're starting to look around. And this was whenever we had probably the craziest revelation of all. Evan and I saw a QR code in the corner, and we were like, oh shit, we should get that QR code. Never in the history, there has only been two times that it has happened, during this Watch Dogs demo and during Fez. No other time have I ever wanted to record a QR code.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's trying to find Jeremy DeMarco, and he's looking through the crowd. He can't find him. So he uses his thingy, his phone, to, like, search people's profiles. Like, he finds their profile and finds out something about them, you know?
Like, yeah, and he's, like, scrolling through the crowd, and you see, like, this guy is HIV positive, and this guy skipped out on bail, and this guy, and, you know, just looking for the right person.
Yeah, and, like, single parent, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he finds somebody who, like, DeMarco's employee or whatever. And he listens in on the phone call using his phone. Everything at this point, we're just like, what is going on? What kind of game is this? I don't know. And then on the phone call, the lady who works for DeMarco is like, hey, this is that guy. And DeMarco's like, don't let him leave. And then these security guards come in, and all of a sudden down at the bottom of the screen you see threat level or violence level raising, and you see that, like, it's targeting those people and saying these security guards are 40% likely to cause violence in you, like they're going to start a fight with you. And so he starts running around to the back of the building where he meets this other security guard, and it registered, like, he's ex-military, and his violence level just skyrockets. He starts at 40 and all of a sudden moves up to 75 in less than a second. And then you just pull out this stick and start beating him senseless.
This is like some Last of Us stuff too, in terms of just kind of brutality.
And that's the point whenever Evan and I were like, what? This is awesome. And so he runs outside, and again, no load times, no nothing. He runs outside. It's raining. The rain looks awesome. Everything looks great. And he's got to get away. He's got to find a way out of this situation. And so he looks up and he sees the traffic lights, and he decides, all right, I'm going to mess with these traffic lights. He turns them all to red at the exact second that DeMarco's car is running through the intersection and causes this huge accident. And it looked like that accident was really dynamic and based on physics rather than, you know, just the cars in the area, like, making an explosion, you know? Everything was happening in real time,
yeah,
basically. And so then these people start coming out, and it's like a gunfight, really awesome gun noises. And he's using the cars as cover, which I found really awesome because those cars were, you know, like moving down the street. And then all of a sudden they are crashed, and yeah, he can use those as cover. That's totally logical. And it just seems
there is a part where he dives over the hood of a car, like kicks a guy and shoots him in the face a bunch.
Yep. And then there's explosion, more explosions. Yeah. And then, he pulls DeMarco out of the car and he's like, send a message to everybody, and then shoots him in the face. And then all of a sudden this helicopter has got eyes on this dude. And then he like calls up a buddy, and this buddy is on the rooftop, but then like a gamer tag pops up on this buddy, and you're like, what is going on? And then you realize that this new co-op buddy, and they pull back to the stage, and you see there's a new guy, and he's got a controller too, so he's playing the game as well. And so what ends up happening is the character that we were following before is now running away from the police, and this new character is tasked a group objective to help the other character escape.
Yeah.
And so he starts,
and then
like,
he like runs across a bunch of rooftops to try to get where he's going.
And then they pull out, and there's like five more people out in the world, and they pull out further, there's even more people, and you're just like, what is this? And then they pop up on screen, Watch Dogs, and you're like, what? It was awesome. It was awesome.
It was just a really well designed trailer in terms of just like giving you that sort of what is happening feeling.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a really cool, like a constantly changing universe to play multiplayer in.
Just the crazy dynamic nature of that game is kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I mean, there's still a bunch of stuff we don't know.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Is this for the current generation of consoles?
Yeah.
On the press site, Ubisoft's press site, it did say current gen, but there like other people are still looking for actual confirmation on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, is this an MMO? Like,
what is this game, and when can I get my hands on it?
Is it all an elaborate ARG? Because you can go, if you scan that QR code, it takes you to a website that is promoting the person you're after, Jason DeMarco's art show, and you can go and say, you know, I want to know when there are tickets available. And it gives you an email, and so I sent this email address an email saying, "Hey, I love DeMarco's work, so let me know when tickets are available."
Yeah,
and I'm gonna see if I get anything back. But yeah, I
you know,
it's
interesting. I forgot what I was gonna say. Go ahead.
I don't know. It just gave me the largest girl boner I think I've ever had.
Oh.
Yeah,
you got to say that, dude.
I thought the dialogue was actually pretty good in that brief moment. He was chatting with his the guy who was working with him.
It was like,
I find that funny because of how horrible an idea it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Here's
and
that
then
website.
Maybe Wii U?
Here's that website.
Yeah.
Hi.
That's Paul.
I'm Joseph DeMarco. Welcome to Dot Connection, my digital gallery made of underground art and music. I hope you'll enjoy viewing, listening, and interacting with the pieces as much as I enjoy bringing them together.
It's just like this face of
Joseph
DeMarco or whatever his name is. And he's just talking about his art gallery. So it's not even like it's promoting the game. It's promoting the thing inside of the game. That's how fucking crazy this is.
Yeah.
Ubisoft is insane.
I really hope it's like one of those crazy ARGs where there have been games in the past where, you know, to proceed in the game, you get like phone calls from people in the real world and, mm-hmm. you know, proceed. And if that game was like that, that would be amazing because that concept is really cool.
Just because that was the end of the Ubisoft press conference. Before we move on to Sony, I'm going to read off a couple of the tweets that I've retweeted about the about Watch Dogs. I got one, "Who watches the Watch Dogs?" which I found really funny. Ben Reeves said, "Watch Dogs looks cool, but I wish it was a game about underground group of golden retrievers with giant clocks for heads." And Phil Kohler was the one who said, "Press site, Watch Dogs 360, PC, and PS3 reached out for clarification."
Okay. So,
there's that. All right. Well, Ryan's leaving. Space Jam. Bye, Ryan.
All right. I'll see you guys later.
All right. I'll Space Jam you out.
Happy E3.
Work that body. Work that body.
Sony.
Yeah.
Sony.
Last press conference of the day. Thank God. It's been a long day.
Yeah, it has.
So yeah, Sony had a lot of interesting stuff, some not so interesting stuff.
We'll get to that.
But yeah, Sony started with
Beyond.
Did they lead with that? Really?
Yes.
No.
Yes, they did.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, they did? Okay. I guess he was just talking a lot before that.
Yeah. Beyond.
Ellen
New
Page.
Quantic Dream game.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it looked so gorgeous and so cool.
And it has Ellen Page in it. Like, for realsies.
For Rizzles.
Honest to blog.
That was my joke. You stole it.
Yeah, I did steal your joke, and I will not apologize for it.
Let's talk about Beyond.
Yeah, what were everyone's impressions of Beyond? Because I was absolutely entranced by what they showed.
It made me buy Heavy Rain right away.
Yeah, we were chatting with you, and you saw that, and you were like, yeah, I'm going to go to Amazon and I'm going to buy Heavy Rain right now.
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
visually,
just
absolutely gorgeous. I mean, the facial recognition, I'd say on par, if not better, than L.A. Noire. I mean,
I think it's a little bit better.
Definitely.
Because L.A. Noire's face has almost looked like a really, really good moving texture.
Yeah. There was just something about it that really sold me. Like, it was just, it pretty much had the exact same feeling as it did, like, Heavy Rain, their previous title. But also just that whole mixture of sci-fi in it just sold me on it.
Yeah. Swayze was in the game. What?
What was that?
Patrick Swayze.
He was not in it.
I want to know what
his ghost was, all right?
I want to know what's up with Ellen Page and her psychic stuff.
Well, so it's because babies have fingernails, and
she's so crazy.
Or Juno jokes.
Yep. It's going to keep going, too.
If pretty much all we know right now is that it's apparently, as David Cage described, a game about death, which is why it's called Beyond.
Yeah. You see, because she drank like 10 tons of Sunny D and
hamburger phone.
Oh my God.
So she seems to have some sort of psychic power. The whole video, I use the word demo lightly because I'm not exactly sure if it's just going to be gameplay like Heavy Rain or if there's something more to it.
Well, it definitely seemed like she had a presence with her. It wasn't necessarily her powers as much as it was somebody else's, because she actually, late in the trailer, said, like, "Let's go, such and such."
Like Ivan or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no one there, but she refers to someone, which also piqued my interest. But
I really hope it's, like, her older brother who died in a car accident or something.
Yeah
what something was this messed up like that.
That she caused.
I see.
And now he's haunting her.
Well, like, at one point, she was getting shot at, and the big blue ghosty eye, or whatever it was, it just looked like a bubble, just protected her. And she jumped off a train or something.
While she was jumping off a train.
Yeah.
God, yeah.
Yeah, but the part of that whole thing that impressed me most was really the first part of the demo where she's in a police station and she doesn't talk at all. It's just the kind of sheriff talking with her, trying to get information about, you know, why she's messed up. And there was just an incredible amount of tension in that scene for something that was really so simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, you see like the coffee cup move a little bit and you're like, wait, is she doing that? And then you're like, oh, she totally is doing that. And then a SWAT team shows up and like, it just very well plotted and paced.
Yeah.
The rest of the trailer was cool too, but
yeah.
Yep.
Definitely a great way to start off like their conference. That was very solid.
Yeah, great way to start off the conference.
Definitely.
A wise decision on their part. Yep.
I don't know. I would have started it with the middle.
Middle?
Yep.
That middle.
I would have gone out with a bang. By the way, we totally forgot Just Dance 4 Ubisoft.
Yeah,
that was how they actually opened it. So.
We all repressed that.
When you couple that whole performance with the just, like, really kind of surprising nudity at the top of the Far Cry 3 trailer, it seems like they're being a little bit desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Which it didn't need to be, because I totally had good games.
The Ubisoft conference had some of the best games of any of the conferences. It's just the presentation was so shitty.
Yep. They started out, let's see, Beyond, and then PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Right.
With Vita.
Which still looks
awkward.
Still looks clunky to me.
And
a weird universe just to, like, converge.
Yeah. But they did confirm Vita Nathan cross-compatibility. Drake. So, you know, two people can play on the PlayStation with PlayStation controllers and the Vita will also serve as controllers.
They also confirmed two new characters with Nathan Drake and
Big Daddy.
Yeah. I was really holding out for Ethan Mars. I really want him to be in a fighting game. He can just mope around.
Yeah.
David Cage comes up to introduce Ethan Mars to the game.
Yes.
Like, as you can see, he can throw grapes as one of his special moves. He'll cut off the enemy's pinky and babysit it for 10
helicopter
days.
With his enemies.
Just midway through, he's just like, what's the point? He just sits down and starts drinking some orange juice.
Yeah. Every now and again, his turns special on some move. TV. His special move is that he leaves his hotel room and just stands out on the balcony for a while.
And then
everyone else. No, that is his special move, but everyone else gets so depressed that they're just like, ah, fuck it.
It's like, oh, God, why are you doing that? Is your life that depressing? Oh.
You just so that the seasons pass and they just wither away and die?
Yes. Yes.
And then they're all like, hey, Vita handheld gets all those PS1 classics. You totally get those and stuff.
And yeah. Also,
Call of Duty Assassin's Declassified.
Creed.
Oh,
so I was gonna go for Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation.
Sure, yeah, that seems like something.
Seems like an Assassin's Creed 3 tie-in, I guess, for the Vita.
Yeah, it looks like that. Yeah. It looks like it was a female protagonist in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more of the regular Assassin's Creed style in the city with tall buildings and stuff. Yeah.
But if that's on a Vita, that's pretty neat. And I believe there was some parkouring in the forest in any case. Uh-huh. I think
well, it was a swamp-looking place.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Nice.
PS
so that's
Vita.
Good, because Vita software, not so hot so far.
It just kind of sucks that they only announced those two things.
Yeah. Right.
And then, you know, your PS Vita can also be used as a controller for Little Big Planet 2.
Yep.
Let's see. There was that Far Cry 3 co-op campaign that didn't look all that interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Protect the middle-aged white guy.
Yeah. Protect Sully.
Yeah.
That was just a really surreal moment because they were playing like a protect the box mode or something. Or capture this thing. And at one point, there's just I saw one of the characters carrying the box. I was like, why is there this weird middle-aged white guy carrying a box just wandering around the battlefield? I got really excited for a minute because I was like, maybe this is some of the weirdness leaking over from the single-player campaign. But
people carrying boxes.
Yeah, like some Twin Peaks stuff. But
So Evan, I want you to tell me about how much you love pirates and how much you love Assassin's Creed in the Caribbean.
God, I love pirates. Not the movies. Specifically, the first one's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, but I just really want a pirate game. Listeners of the podcast might know that I had a brief romance, a one-night stand with Risen 2. In my search for a pirate game. I still feel guilty that I don't play that.
Yeah, you should probably finish should.
Do you, though?
It don't treat you right, Evan. It don't treat you right.
You deserve better.
Yeah, so imagine my excitement when Assassin's Creed 3 gets another gameplay demo in Sony's conference, and it's pirates. And the assassin is on a pirate ship for some reason. He's the captain, and you get to steer the pirate ship, and then you fire a bunch of cannons, and then there's a sword fight, and then, yeah, it's great.
And then the waves are really pretty.
Super beautiful, too. Like, that
and then
amazing,
he almost right? stabs a guy.
Yeah.
Like, the cannon fire, things. Like, just, like, the mass is moving, the water, like, the wind, everything looks awesome.
The thing that really... Like, I'm a stickler for very little details that I can appreciate. And the way the cannons all sort of fired out of time with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in a video game, generally, it would just be, like, all fire at the same time, one noise.
But did you see them, like, move back on the ship as well? Mm-hmm. And they had to, like, push, like, the AI had to push them back into position.
Yeah, and then, like, the damage on the ship, just, like, wood flying off and heating up and...
Yeah.
Great. Really great look.
And then they totally
you can tell
pulled
they're
up.
They're really working on that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they totally pulled up alongside that other ship and then they jumped on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the most effective use of cutting to a title card. Get to the most effective use of that.
That one was mind blowing.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I think the most effective title cut was probably, oh god, I can't believe I'm saying this, God of War Ascension.
No.
No.
That was so God of War Ascension. Ascension.
I think we're skipping over something.
No, we are. We'll get back to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I know we're skipping over. It's very
seamlessly transitioned into it so that we could get over talking about God of War. Then we were going to move back to it. I know what I'm doing. I've hosted things before.
Okay. Have you?
Yes.
How many?
34. Plus all of the Overcast stuff.
So happy Overflow.
Plus all the ones we threw away.
Yeah, plus all the ones we threw away.
Of which there are
so,
many.
So, at least a year of podcasting by now.
At least.
I know how this shit goes down. Come on, Matthew.
Jeez. Throwing it down here.
I will hang up on you.
God of War Ascension.
You will.
was... In my opinion, an incredibly boring demo.
Yeah.
Well, it just seemed like more God of War, and I feel like...
And God of War is not fun to watch unless it's the crazy set pieces.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. And,
of which there were none. This was just Kratos hitting dudes with his blades until they fell over. And he did that for like 10 minutes. And then when it finally got to the Kraken fight, it cut to black.
Yeah, despite, like, all these amazing Akron sequences, I mean, we've seen this over a period of, what, 5 games now, like, the 3 on the actual systems and the 2 on the handhelds, and it just cannot look more generic. And was it me, or did that one look worse than God of War 3?
No, I think it looked fine.
Mm. I think it might have looked a bit
It was
worse.
A little more cartoony, I feel like.
I think I think it's just a... Like a evolution of the lighting engine, really.
Yeah, I don't think
it may be the live stream quality.
Yeah,
it's possible.
I don't know if there's much to worry about. God, if there's one thing God of War knows how to deliver, it's graphical fidelity.
Sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, kind of a not really a disappointment for me. because I don't like God of War that much. But yeah,
it's kind of meh.
Now on to, I think, Evan's favorite part of the show, and definitely my highlight. It is the glory that is the PS3 Wonder Book. Wonder Book.
It's great. Reading it's great. Rainbow. It's the best thing. It's the best.
Yep.
It's actually a piece of shit. In reality, I was lying just a minute ago. It's actually excruciatingly awful.
That'll be on the box when you get it.
Excruciatingly awful.
So let's talk about Wonder Book, an interactive storybook.
Okay, so first of all, don't make your Wonder Book demo 15 minutes long.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's advised.
I think it might have been longer than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what? Give some of that time to you know, Last of Us. Yeah. Maybe see a little more Last of Us.
Yeah.
That would be better. Maybe show us the Kraken fight in God of War Ascension.
You don't want to practice your magic spells.
So they announced two books. One they didn't really say anything about, and then the other one was
a film noir, and you were like, yeah. "Oh man, film yeah. noir."
Yeah,
and it was the main character in that book is a purple cucumber.
Yep.
Yeah, I believe so.
So
his name is like Higgy or something. Higgly.
I
think it's Dilly or something.
I'm secretly Dilly. Going to buy a Wonder Book. So.
Yeah. But then they got to the real star of the show.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling's A Book of Spells.
God, please don't call it J.K. Rowling's. So they introduced it, and they were like, hey, you know, we have this new Move-compatible book, you know, augmented reality stuff. And we got J.K. Rowling to write new Harry Potter material.
Yep.
And I know everybody in our chat was like, what? This has the potential to be awesome.
Yeah.
And then I remember distinctly about 30 seconds in, Matthew was like, oh God, they better show something awesome soon. And then it went on for another 7.5 minutes.
Oh.
So.
And then Cat Lady.
Well, Cat Lady, middle-aged mom.
Yeah, so they got, first of all, to demonstrate, for those of you who don't know, this is just a pop-up book, a virtual pop-up book, where you have to use the Move controller to draw lines in the air to cast spells on the pop-up book. It's dumb. It looks really dumb. I mean, it's obviously intended for, like, 5-year-olds.
Well, I really enjoyed, like, there was the last thing they showed off was basically a pop-up, like, puppet show of the creation of the, I think it was the Wingardium Leviosa spell or something like that. And that seemed kind of interesting, you know? Like,
sure. I mean, if you're really into Harry Potter, which sure. I am not, but yeah, if you are, if you are, then it might be more appealing to you.
I don't know.
But if you are a fan of good games, yes. you might find that this is not appealing to you.
Oh, that's too bad. So, middle-aged mom decides that she wants to cast the Unlock Book spell.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, God.
For 5 minutes.
It was like watching it wasn't even like watching a car wreck in slow motion. It was like watching 15 sped-up car wrecks at one after the other.
That's what they music.
It was... So, she couldn't cast the... She kept trying... And she just couldn't cast it, and the camera kept cutting to different angles like this was intended. And,
They should have just cut to somebody else. I mean, they focus way too long for that not to be, like, oh, God.
Right, and then after that's done, you think, oh, good, Wonder Book, finally over. But no. No, got to watch her cast another spell. Well, and go into a stupid room.
She finally got it.
But it was such a depressing applause. Yeah, it was like golf claps.
It's okay, Mom. Good.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
we didn't laugh too hard.
Yeah,
overall,
we were laughing with you.
It was really petty. Like, it just... nothing says Harry Potter and like Hogwarts and magic like a 40-year-old woman, you know? Like, it's just, you don't.
It's like, at least when they did the Kinect Adventures rafting, they got some bright-eyed, impressionable kids
who hadn't
realized the absolute misery of the world yet. But she obviously had.
It's like the perfect opportunity. But here, kids, go on with some like Hogwarts robes, something like that, and do that. But no, instead you had to get this woman who clearly does not know what she's doing and just has a really weird obsession with cats and Harry Potter books.
And I think she's just waiting for the 50 Shades of Grey Wonder Book. So.
Oh, God. Now, you stole that joke from Jeff Gerstmann.
Yes, and I'm not going to apologize for it.
But like if a kid messed up, you know, whatever. It's a kid. It's kind of cute. Sure.
Come here, Skittles.
But when it's like a 40-year-old woman, it's just sort of sad.
Yeah, and the thing is, that's not even the demographic for this game, clearly.
No, it's not. It's so not. A 10-year-old is not the demographic for this game.
There are no demographics for this game.
It's hooked on phonics with, like, a wand.
Sure.
Hooked on wand dicks.
No. This is, like, the step up from Mavis Beacon teaches typing. This is, like, what you go to next. You're like, now you got the keyboard down. Here's a move controller.
I really hope if we review this game, that's all we say for it.
A step up from that'll be the that'll be the subtitle on the review. It'll be Book of Spells review. A step up from Mavis Beacon teaches typing.
I don't know. I like it. Mavis Beacon teaches typing.
That's true. I don't want to say anything bad about Mavis Beacon. That's a wholly effective educational tool.
If you're going to make
Book of Spells is wholly effective for making you feel bad about yourself.
If you're going to make the Mavis Beacon joke with Wonder Book, you got to say the next chapter in Mavis Beacon teaches typing.
But let that hang.
It's a great joke. You just kept interrupting me so I couldn't say it.
I don't think that joke would have landed any better if everyone
had heard it.
It would have.
So that was really bad. But then, let me tell you what happened after that.
I don't want to hear what happened after that because you won't laugh at my jokes.
Okay, fine. Tell me a joke.
No.
Any joke, I'll laugh at it. No, I swear, I give you my word. No.
So you
unless
like
it is truly
music.
Terrible, and it would be a disgrace upon myself and my family to laugh at it, then I will laugh at it. Come on. Let's just put the podcast on hold. Come on, Clint.
Right. I'm just going to Google bad jokes.
Oh, good. Good. Let's all just wait. How about you
just
play some
Space Jam? Just say you don't like pop music. It's funny.
How about you play some Space Jam? How about you do that? How about Clint?
Okay. This is a really terrible joke.
Okay.
It's so terrible. Okay.
I promise I'll laugh at it.
It's so dumb. What did the fisherman say to the card magician?
What?
Pick a card, any card.
I like...
See, Flint, the joke's on you, because I was not going to laugh at your joke. That was fucking terrible.
I know.
I like it.
But well done. Okay, why did the mushroom go to the party? This is my standby.
Hallucinations.
I won a joke contest for a first grade newspaper, but I was in eighth grade. Yeah, because he's a fun guy.
Yeah, he
fun
is.
Guy.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
I remember that one.
Last of Us.
With a sigh of relief.
Let's go straight from the mushroom pun to shooting a guy point blank in the face with a shotgun.
Oh, my God.
Blown.
That gave me
or picking a guy up, ramming his head against a wall, and then like curb stomping it onto the edge of a desk. How about that?
With
about
some
that?
Brain splatters for good measure.
How about slowly and painfully, like, choking a guy to death? Like,
yeah.
And he's, like, grabbing at the back of your head. Yeah. It takes, like, 20 seconds just watching this play.
Or so the Last of Us, when Ellen Page totally throws a brick at a dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The non-Ellen Page, the waitress from the Avengers, Ellen Page, as opposed to the Ellen Page from the other one, Beyond. I don't want to blow anyone's minds, but I think Last of Us has a – okay, that was not deliberate. Not deliberate.
I think it was.
Someone's brains out. Regardless, I think Last of Us is a real good shot at being game of the show. If we do any sort of E3 awards, I feel like that is a contender.
Mm-hmm. I could full-heartedly agree with that. That game single-handedly just sold me on a PS3. When that game comes out, I will buy a PS3 for that game.
Yeah, so let's just sort of do a walkthrough of the demo, because it's a really well-designed demo in terms of just showing you what this game's all about. You know, you start, you're with Ellen Page, fake Ellen Page, and you go into this apartment building, and everything's, you know, foliage everywhere, and it's the apocalypse, obviously. And you go into the apartment building, and there's some enemies there, and you're like, okay, how am I going to deal with this? And so the rest of the demo is just you systematically killing all of these enemies and feeling really bad about it. Because they're like people, and they die like people, and that's not fun.
Yeah.
Like they don't just sort of, they don't have a GoldenEye death throw. Like, you walk up to a guy and you choke him out for about 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. And
he struggles and tries to save himself.
He struggles and tries to save himself. You set people on fire and you hear their chortled screams.
Flesh burning.
There was two things that sold me that game. Not only the characters, but simply two animation sequences. The one was when you're reloading your gun and they hear the bullets drop into the ground.
Yes.
And the second one was when you fired your gun and they hear the click and the guy hears it and realizes you have no bullets left.
I know what that sound means, motherfucker. And he just like storms.
Yeah.
And then Ellen Page throws a rock at the guy and then dart out from out of cover and you bash his head against a wall.
You physically crush a dude's skull. Like, that is horrifying.
Like, god damn it. Just so good.
Yeah.
Just really makes me want to play that game right now.
I can't wait for that game to come out.
Because one of my many problems with the core fundamentals of the Uncharted series is sort of that, like, wanton killing. It's just like, you know, Nathan Drake is like the most affable serial murderer of all time. Because he just kills thousands of people in those games. And he does it with a smile and like a witty retort. Yeah. And so this game always feels in direct response to that, where it's like, yeah, you kill people, but it ain't fun. And there's no witty retort coming. Yeah. You just gotta man up and deal with this.
Yeah, and also it's just, there's no finesse to it. Like, when you're holding the gun, you noticeably, like, the way he holds it, it doesn't look right. Like, it looks like someone never really shot a gun properly. Or even, like, when you're holding the guy, like hostage, and he's, like, shaking, and you're kind of, like, shaking as well when he's, and, like, the gun's moving. Like, it's just simple stuff like that that shows, like, the pure, like, unpreparedness of this character and just, like, how he's just thrown into these events.
And I'm so surprised that, like, we've gone through this entire, you know, scenario, and we've completely forgotten at this point that there are, like, fungus monsters in this game.
Yeah.
I even forgot that I was going to be playing this game. It almost looked like a movie that I could just watch and enjoy.
Yeah.
I find myself when I'm playing games, one of the coolest things about them tends to be things that, like, give me my surprises, like the AI, and something like this is just kind of amazing. I'm almost like, I don't want there to be fungus monsters because I'm not sure if those will be, you know, as well implemented as the regular guys, you know?
Yeah, like how those will fit into this whole, like, environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was really impressed. I mean, graphically, it looks like, you know, an even larger update from Uncharted 3. Like, it looks prettier, of course. But I, above all else, like, the AI and the animations, like, whenever you run up against cover, like you have to stop yourself, and so you kind of like jolt against the cover, and it just looks really natural and really fluid. Really,
yeah,
awesome.
The thing that stood out to me especially was her animation when she kind of like has to rush and throw herself against the wall. Mm-hmm. Like that looked especially really excellent. You know, those Naughty Dog touches that they're famous for were really front and center.
It all looks like really rushed and very desperate when they're running from cover to cover.
I think that's a great word to describe The Last of Us. It's desperate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like everyone's doing what they can to survive. Only what we have to do to survive is a lot messier.
So
that pretty much sums up E3 day zero.
Do you guys
why is this wanted... day zero and not
because,
day one?
Because the show floor isn't open until tomorrow.
Well, wait. We didn't talk about the very end of this thing.
What
this gameplay?
Oh yeah, he shoots you. Wrestle with a guy, it looks like he's gonna shoot you. Fake Ellen Page comes in with a knife, stabs the dude in the back, you take his shotgun, he's on the ground, you shoot him in the face, you see just like bits of him go everywhere briefly, smash cut, The Last of Us title card.
At
which point everyone applauded.
Yeah,
like, it was perfect.
And Jack Trin is on stage, he's like, "What now, bitches?"
Yeah.
This is my kingdom.
Yeah, angry at us for the Wonder Book.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
what Wonder Book.
Yeah.
All right.
Stop.
Do you guys want to do like your little scores for each conference real quick?
Sure.
All right.
Microsoft.
I thought Microsoft was a C+.
Really?
Yeah, I mean they had good games.
Hey, let's
that
do
middle
it,
really sad.
Let's do it out of error stars.
Oh,
yeah,
much better. You mean yield signs?
Yes, error yield signs.
Then 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Matt, 2 out of 5.
Give it 2 yield signs out of 5.
Nick.
2 yield signs out of 5.
I'll go with 2. Yeah. It's very it's very 2. EA. I know Evan, you didn't from what you've heard about the EA press conference, what would you give it?
Sounds like a 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, from what I've heard, it sounds like they just didn't have much.
They didn't. I would agree. It's a 2. Sim City was awesome. But not much else.
You're really hype about this SimCity game.
Yeah,
me too. It just looks really fun.
We're going to be neighbor mayors.
I'm going to be king, and he's going to be mayor?
Is that a thing you can do?
I don't know, maybe.
I sure hope so.
I'll be the mayor to your king any day, Quinn. You're looking at you.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns of the world.
Thank you. EA rating.
2 out of 5.
I'll give it a 2 as well.
Yeah.
Nick.
2.
Ubisoft. Okay. Ubisoft.
Not so good so far.
No.
Ubisoft.
You know, even despite its shitty presentation, it was good. I gave it a 4 out of 5, honestly.
I actually like it whenever guests like hosts fall flat like they do.
Yeah,
I find that I just find it really endearing.
But when something about this was not fun for me in that way. Like, I get what you're saying, but this transcended that and just became really kind of uncomfortable to watch, where it seemed like Aisha Taylor just had a real problem with Tobuscus.
I actually felt bad for Tobuscus by the end.
Yeah.
She was talking about how he had, like, performance issues and...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know. Girls always hate it when guys finish before they do, was the joke, I believe.
God damn it, Aisha Taylor and her girl boners.
I'll give it a 3. I really like the content of the conference, but the awfulness is too much to ignore. So a 3 for me.
I give it a 4. Nick?
I give it a 3. It's pretty much what Evan just said is spot on.
Yeah. The games really were just great.
Right, but I mean, it's a conference. Sure. It is a thing that someone has to put together and make engaging to watch.
Plus,
and
the difference is you actually have to sell us on the games. I mean, and
they sold me on probably 3/4 of what they were talking about at that conference.
That's just a matter of them showing you clips of games.
Exactly.
There should be a rhyme and a reason to the way they present them to make them most, you know, like the...
Okay, well, then like nobody did a good job. Like, if you're saying that, then nobody did a really good job, because...
I disagree.
Well, no, like...
Sony did an excellent job.
Okay, yeah, but you're saying the way they present the game, yeah, like, you're saying that a demo isn't them presenting the game, then? Because
the demos in a childish and ridiculous way.
No, the demos of the games themselves were really awesome, and those sold me on the game.
I'm saying that if you are judging the content of a conference, then you should pay mind to the stuff.
And that's why I give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay, and that's why I give it a 3 out of 5. We're in agreement.
I do the same.
Sony.
We're in agreement.
Sony.
Matthew.
I mean, aside from Wonderbook and a couple other small things, it was really good. So 4 out of 5.
Yeah, 4 for me too. I'd love to give it a 5 if Wonderbook wasn't there. I would.
Yeah, I wanted to see some Sly, but none of that.
Yeah, 4 out of 5. Unfortunately, it pretty much was like a book. It had some great beginning and ending, but no middle.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that was deep.
That was no wonder.
Analogy.
What kind of fire spell are you gonna cast?
Oh God.
I give it
Incendio.
I give it a 1 out of 5 because I really wanted to see more Wonder Book. You just didn't give me enough Wonder Book, and I wanted to see.
We all did.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a good idea for a tweet.
See, that's the most. Can I just go off on a tangent here? That's the most depressing part about Twitter. Is one of two things. When you're sitting with your Twitter application open and you're trying to think of something witty to say, or you think of something witty and you're like, oh, that'll make a perfect tweet.
And I have a tweet.
And then it's too long, and then you have to be like, oh, God, well, I could use the number 4 here instead of the word, but then will it look like I'm dumb?
Exactly. You're almost too perverse for you.
It's like maybe I can cut out a word here and there. Replace an extremely with a very.
All right. Well, that does it for E3 Day Zero. Tune back in for Nintendo and other things tomorrow.
I also like how we're calling it Day Zero as if the floor being open has any bearing on us. It's people reporting on E3. Day one, we'll have some hands-on stuff from the show floor. I got a guy who knows a guy.
All right, fine. I will call it day one in the post. Will that make you feel better?
No, call it day zero. I like living this lie.
All right, fine. Well, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Trust me, Clint. Okay. He said I just need to give him like $1,000 in installments, and then he'll get me into E3.
Okay. See you guys tomorrow. Woo! Up.